compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
All right, welcome back. Here we are, hour three, I should say. It's going to go by fast. If you want to give me a call, call me at 888-914-9149. Let's start off in San Francisco now with the mayor there, London Breed. So her deal is she wasn't wearing a mask. So she was photographed at this big party. It was a musical group appearing, and they're at a club and making merry, and nobody's wearing a mask. And they're all in close quarters, and they're all living it up. I have nothing against any of that. That's fine, whatever. But she's like at the forefront of the brown shirts who are enforcing wearing masks on babies on planes and children in daycare centers and all of the above. Rules for thee, but not for me, is really what this amounts to. And so she's now defending herself. She's blowing it off because she and all the other revelers at this event were not wearing masks. So in other words, the very thing that they demand that you do, they were not doing. Because you know why? Because they're special and the rules don't apply to them. If you're Gavin or Newsom, or if you're London Breed, or if you're Nancy Pelosi, or if you're even Dr. Fauci, who has been seen at public events not wearing a mask, all the while yammering on about how you have to wear a mask. So in any case, you get the point. So here is a snippet, a couple of minutes long, of her trying to defend herself. And just listen to some of the cockamamie dingbat reasons she gives for why it was really okay for her not to wear a mask. But by golly, you better wear a mask or they're going to come after you. Listen to her.
People have to be vaccinated. And so it doesn't mean that, like sip and drink, that is just not realistic. And when you go to restaurants, I was at a restaurant, same thing. I'm leaving my mask down while I'm enjoying my food. I'm not putting it on and taking it off, putting it on. People are not doing that. So that's just not realistic. You all
pause. Okay. Listen to what she's saying here. If you fly on a commercial airliner, what she is saying is false, as Dwight Schrute would say. That's exactly what you have to do on American Airlines or United Airlines. You have to put your mask up when you're not sipping from your ginger ale, and you can pull it down to sip your ginger ale, then you got to put it back up again. And I'm telling you, I fly a lot, and I am in the air a lot, and I'm on these airlines a lot, and they make this announcement. And if you don't do this, you may be banned from this airline for life. And they mean it, and they really do ban people. So what she's saying is, at the very least, it is inconsistent with what the rank and file are made to do. Now, I don't know whether on her private jet, if she has one, I don't know whether or not she's required to lift her mask up and down when she's eating or drinking, but that's exactly what people have to do by the millions every day on commercial airliners. So she's saying that's unreasonable. You can't have people do that. So let's continue.
The message I want to get out is support our nightlife venues, support our restaurants, go out and enjoy yourself. Make sure you are vaccinated because of the requirements. But don't feel as though you have to be micromanaged about mask wearing. Like, we don't need the fun police to come in and try and micromanage and tell us what we should or shouldn't be doing. We know what we need to do to protect ourselves. No one has been more conservative about protecting themselves than I have, not just because I want to set an example, but because I don't want to get COVID. And I know many people feel the same way.
Okay, stop her for a second, because, I hope I've been up this whole time, Cyrus. She's setting an example for all of us. Now, the whole point of this controversy is that she was making merry with all of the people who were at this thing, and she wasn't wearing a mask. That's the key. But the kid in the daycare center, he's got to wear a mask, absolutely, and that teacher keeps jamming it back on his face. The little child who is having an asthma attack on the plane, he has to have a mask on, of course, and the fact that his mother wouldn't put the mask on him, they turned the plane around. It's that type of idiocy. So it's actually rather breathtaking to see how she's taking this glittering example of her own hypocrisy and she's turning it into this sort of praise for herself. No one's been more conservative than I have. Nobody's been, you know, as good of a role model as I have. That's the whole point, is that you're not a good role model. And you're actually not doing the very thing that you're saying that everyone else should do. Now, she talks a little bit about the vaccine here and there. It reminds me of that meme that's floating around. The protected need to be protected from the unprotected by forcing the unprotected to use the protection that didn't protect the protected. Do you see how that works, Cyrus? Okay, here goes. Listen carefully, okay? Because this is, you know, the vaccine thing. The protected need, now, okay, by the protected, we're talking about those who have been vaccinated, okay? Follow me, Cyrus. The protected need to be protected from the unprotected by forcing the unprotected to use the protection that didn't protect the protected.
Peter Piper picked
a peck of pickled peppers. If Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers, how many pickled peppers did Peter Piper pick?
And he better been wearing a mask like while he was picking them.
Oh, you know it. Because, man, those pickled peppers would be out the window very quickly. So here's one more time, Cyrus. This is the way it works. The protected need to be protected from the unprotected by forcing the unprotected to use the protection that didn't protect the protected.
Okay, I think I
get it. It all makes sense now.
Do the rules change when it's a San Francisco band that is legendary and the spirit moves me to get up and dance?
Oh, of course. Of course.
Because that's what happened here.
Or the Emmys. There's another thing. So, I mean, if you look at the Emmy Awards that were just there, you got all these glitterati who are high-fiving themselves and giving themselves awards, and they're all looking beautiful and fashionable.
Are you telling me that the elites have different rules?
I hate to break it to you, Cyrus. I know you're still a tender youth, so at least everybody thinks you're a tender youth.
Let's keep it that way.
Everybody thinks you're 21 years old. But okay, yeah, so the Emmys, I'm looking at some snapshots of the Emmys, and these people, the glitterati, they are just going to town. They're loving it, and I can't blame them. It sounds like a fun party. Nobody's wearing a mask. Everybody is cheek by jowl. They're all laughing and whooping it up, and they're just having a great time, as people do at events like that. I have no problem with that. But none of them are wearing masks. Not a single one of them is wearing a mask. But the kid in the daycare center who doesn't understand what's going on and why this teacher keeps insisting, keeps jamming this mask on the kid's face, he has to wear a mask. But the glitterati, that's cool, you know. So let's get back to London Breed, because she's got this twisted illogic in trying to explain away why she was not following the mask mandate that she enforces on everyone else who is under her thumb in San Francisco. Let's finish the rest of this, if you can handle it.
But it is what it is. A video shows a maskless Breed neither seated at a table nor positioned at a stationary counter, standing and dancing without any food or drinks in her hand. She also posed for photos while not wearing a mask.
Okay, so just to be clear, I was sitting at my table, and when, I don't know about you and whether or not you know who Rafael Saadiq and Dwayne Wiggins are, but I don't know about you, but if you know who they are, I don't care where you're sitting, you're going to get up and start dancing. My drink was sitting at the table. I got up and started dancing because I was feeling the spirit. And I wasn't thinking about a mask. I was thinking about having a good time. And in the process, I was following the health orders. Not to mention the Chronicle reporter who walked up to me had no mask in sight. When I took a picture,
okay, stop.
As I do...
Stop, 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 stop. Okay. Everything she says... it's either contradictory or it's incriminating. And I don't want to belabor the point. I mean, ultimately, in the big picture, there's so much of this hypocrisy that's going on right now. Rules for thee, but not for me. That's what this really is. And her defense is basically, well, I don't know if you know who this group is, who these artists are, but I mean, if you're like a normal person, then you, like I and everybody else, you'd get up and start dancing. And who needs to wear a mask if you're getting that in your spirit?
Get that in your spirit.
Well, she did. And the other thing that is another example of the breathtaking hypocrisy here, this whole thing is the reporters are asking her about her own failure to wear a mask in the same kind of setting that everybody else she would require to wear a mask in. And then she starts up by saying that, well, then this reporter who comes over to me, there was no mask in sight. That's the whole point. How can you be righteously indignant about the reporter not wearing a mask when this whole fiasco is about you not wearing a mask? Get that in your
spirit. You do not know what you are talking about.
But in fact, I do. In fact, I thought, Cyrus, that if you disobey the rules, you get cut off. That's what I always thought.
If you disobey the rules, you get cut off.
So don't mess with me when it comes to words like that.
Ain't nothing gonna happen.
Oh, is there any more of this this fiasco that we need to listen to?
It's just more of the same. It's more of the same.
All right. Well, so, let me throw a little more. Go ahead, Cyrus.
Oh, I was just going to say, I've gotten a couple people have wrote me and said, love the protective
have,
need to be protected.
Have written.
What did I say?
Have written. Have wrote. Have written.
I'm going to start calling you Melanie when you do that to me, because that's what my wife, she does that constantly. I've never learned. All right,
good
when they so do you want to hear what these nice people have written or not?
I do. Okay. I really do.
Okay. Yeah.
But I couldn't resist taking that shot, Cyrus. I'm sorry.
Now I'm all red. All right. So they said, love the protected, need to be protected from the unprotected. And I need to get a post. That needs to be a hotkey.
I'm going to send that to you.
Play it over and over again.
Okay.
All right. You can go on now. I'm done.
Can I? Okay. All clear? I have a green light?
All clear, Captain.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, so this out of the Vatican. The Vatican City State announced Monday that effective October 1st, no one can enter its territory without presenting a coronavirus green pass. And this is by order of Pope Francis. The green pass can be obtained by showing proof of vaccination against the coronavirus, demonstrating recovery from the coronavirus, or by showing a negative rapid antigen or PCR test. This is according to the statement that was released by the Vatican. The decree also declares that the green pass mandate extends to the Vatican's extraterritorial properties stipulated by the 1929 Lateran Treaty, which includes the Vatican-owned churches throughout Italy. The Pope himself instructed the governorate of the Vatican City to issue the mandate in order, quote, to prevent, control, and combat the public health emergency in the Vatican territories. According to the decree, Pope Francis did so while asserting the necessity of ensuring the health and well-being of the working community with respect for the dignity, rights, and fundamental freedoms of each of its members. So that's now in force. And I mean, I've never heard of anything like that being done before, but that's in force now. So if you have plans to visit Rome and you'd like to go to St. Peter's, or you'd like to, you know, go into the Piazza or the Vatican Museum or something like that, just be aware that now that is a requirement if you want to come into that area. Now, Canada, for its part, has released a new set of regulations, and this is going to tie in with another story that also broke in the last couple of days. I'm looking here at a new protocol that has been released, regulations now dealing with vaccination rates and also their efforts to slow the spread of COVID-19. And the particular document that I'm looking at here that was released by the Canadian government, it runs to about, looks like it's about 10 pages long. So it's far too long for me to be able to read all of it to you. But here are some things. So now in Canada, people will need to show proof of vaccination whenever they access certain services, businesses, and events, including indoor festivals, performing arts and sporting events, indoor and outdoor dining and drinking at restaurants, pubs and bars, movie theaters, nightclubs, amusement centers, pool halls, bowling alleys, and casinos, gyms, indoor pools, and indoor recreation facilities. indoor group exercise facilities, indoor organized gatherings, including weddings, funerals, parties, excluding parties in a private dwelling, conferences and workshops, indoor organized group recreational sports, classes and activities, and visiting a long-term care facility. Events, businesses, and services that fall under these categories must ask to see proof of vaccination and government-issued identification from all patrons and participants 12 and older. Individuals who are unable to receive a vaccine due to a medical exemption will be required to show proof of such exemption. Proof of vaccination may be provided by showing an immunization record or a photograph of an immunization record from a regional health authority, clinic, pharmacy, or public health center. Now, this is specifically with regard to the province of New Brunswick, and it gets into quite a bit more. It says that the businesses, individuals and businesses that fail to follow the new regulations may be subject to fines ranging between $172.50 to $772.50. It's interesting that the 50 cents is tacked on there. so this is happening. Now, in a related story, there is a Catholic diocese in Canada that, it, at least as far as I can tell anyway, seems to be making making its new requirements for attending Mass on the basis of what we see here from the government of Canada issuing this edict. But let's go to that diocese now and take a look at what's going on there. So this is in the province of New Brunswick. Here's how it's being reported by the National Catholic Register. The New Brunswick rules apply to those 12 and older seeking to attend indoor or outdoor organized gatherings. So anyone ages 12 or over attending a gathering at Catholic churches, rectories, or community centers under the responsibility of the Archdiocese of Moncton must now present proof that they are fully vaccinated. Now, this according to the Archdiocese of Moncton. It just came out. So what this means is, if you want to go to Mass, if you want to have your child baptized, if you want to go to confession, if you want to go into the church and just simply be with Jesus and pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament, you want to go to adoration, you want to attend a wedding, you want to attend a funeral, any kind of thing that involves the practice of your Catholic faith in a Catholic church in the Archdiocese of Moncton, now they're requiring that you have to show proof of vaccination in order to go into a church, in order to avail yourself of the sacraments. Now, I find this deeply disturbing and wrong for the following reason, that yes, I understand that if the government, the secular government, is mandating some of these restrictions, and I would assume that maybe the majority of Canadians have been vaccinated, so for them it's not going to be a problem, but at least ostensibly for those who have not yet been vaccinated, whether or not they already have had COVID and have natural immunity, I guess that doesn't really matter. But for those who have not yet been vaccinated, they are being deprived of the sacraments because the Archdiocese has decided to simply implement the terms that were given by the state or the province of New Brunswick. I mean, why not say, okay, well, this is something that we will find a workaround for? You know, to place the requirement for a vaccination, proof of vaccination, to place that above the spiritual needs of the people, above the need for many people to go to confession, or the need to prepare for death if somebody is gravely ill, for example, or just, at the very least, just the simple right that every Catholic has to go into a church and pray, the simple right that every Catholic has to receive the sacraments, to go to Mass. What kind of a message does this tell people when the diocese itself, the bishop, is saying, sorry, if you don't have a vaccination, you can't come in? It seems to me that the message it's sending is that personal safety in the form of having a vaccination is more important than your eternal salvation. It seems to me that's how it's going to be understood by a great many people. And that is exactly the wrong message that should be sent. I'm going to just say it as it is. That is the wrong message. And that can be very damaging for the faith of many people. And I have read a great deal about this story in the Canadian press and in the American press. And as I understand it, the Archbishop is simply saying, this is what the government wants, therefore that's what we're going to do. I remember a time, well, I can't say I remember a time because I wasn't alive 500 years ago, but let's put it this way. There was a time when a different government, in this case, it happened to be the government of King Henry VIII, said, guess what, everybody? Remember that the Kingdom of England was Catholic through and through, and it had been for 1,000 years. England was a Catholic country for 1,000 years before King Henry VIII rolled up. And he said, hey, check it out, everybody. Now you are no longer allowed to be Catholic. Now, because I'm the King of England and I've declared the Church of England into existence and I'm the head of the Church of England and you're my subjects, therefore all of you are no longer Catholic. You are now the subjects and members of the new Church of England. And there were a lot of people who were martyred as a result of that, because they were, even though the great majority of people, including, by the way, all the bishops of England, except for one, said, okay, whatever. Sure, we'll leave the church, no problem. We'll abandon the sacraments, no problem. I mean, just don't kill us, please. And they went into heresy, except for one. His name was St. John Fisher, and he was executed for his bravery. And a great many of the Catholics in the realm, they went into this because, you know, I'd rather not be hanged, drawn, and quartered, thank you very much. And so they went along with it, but there were a great many people who said, no, my eternal salvation is more important than this king's rules, which I don't recognize in any case. And so you have people up to and including the Lord Chancellor of the realm, St. Thomas More, who died, who was executed by having his head cut off because he too, he said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. Now, the people in New Brunswick, I don't think, have that luxury. I mean, they may say to the bishop or they may say to the clergy, listen, you should not be doing this. You should find a creative workaround so that you can provide the sacraments to the people who really need them. I mean, surely there's a way that you can find a loophole to do that. If you really wanted to, you could. So it leads to the question, why don't you want to do that? Why are you bending the knee to the secular power that is essentially eliminating the possibility of Mass and the sacraments to the people who have not yet been vaccinated, and you're okay with that? And the sad thing is, I think in many cases, there are people who are okay with that. And that's the thing that is particularly disturbing about all this. Well, there you have it. I'll be back with more, including your phone calls, right after this quick timeout. Please stay right there.
Notre Dame Federal Credit Union is a member of the Catholic Credit Unions of America. You can find more information and your local Catholic Credit Union at relevantradio.com/banking.
Keeping it relevant. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149.
I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts, bare, man. I breathe the mountain.
I like
air,
it.
Man. I travel, I've had my share.
We're
man.
Picking and grinning here everywhere. On the Patrick Madrid Show. By the way, I've been to Reno, Chicago, thank you, Johnny. I want to send some more beautiful love out to all of the folk who are at Our Lady Guadalupe Parish in Moline. No, is it Moline? Silvis, Illinois. I get mixed up. In Silvis, Illinois last night, suburb of Moline. And they were there to hear me give a talk on Answers to Lies Society Tells You. So shout out to Father Peter Zorgin, who is the pastor of that parish, and all the wonderful people who were there last night. So many of whom, by the way, Cyrus, are fans of yours. They told me so. Thank you all for coming out. I'll look forward to being with you again this evening where we talk about how you can help your family and friends come back to the Catholic Church. So people came from all around the Quad Cities. Davenport, Iowa is just across the mighty Mississippi River, which is only yards from where I am broadcasting right now. Also, I want to give a special word of gratitude. This blew my mind, Cyrus. I had dinner last night with a wonderful family in the area here. They have a beautiful pumpkin farm, and the father of the family gave me a tour of the pumpkin farm. It's just glorious and wonderful. But I was so, you'll love this, Cyrus. I was so amazed. There is a couple, Jesse and Katrina. How far do you think they came to see the event last night, Cyrus? How far do you, if you had to guess, 50 miles, 100 miles, what would you guess?
Oh, 20.
No.
I'd say they came about an hour and a half.
No.
More?
Yes.
Wow. Are we talking like Australia?
They came, and I kid you not, when they told me this, I didn't believe it at first. Actually, Father Peter told me this. I didn't believe it. They came from Frankfurt, Germany.
Whoa.
It's an American couple, super people. They flew from Frankfurt, Germany. I guess they went into Chicago and then they made the drive to attend last night's talk. They heard it was going to be happening. They have family in the area. And they thought, oh, my gosh, we want to go to that talk. So they flew in from Frankfurt, Germany. They're Americans. And they were at the talk last night, and they'll be there tonight.
That's awesome.
Your voice changed, Cyrus. It's different somehow. So that was cool, don't you think?
That's really
Frankfurt, Germany.
That's really cool. That's really cool. Did you do a picture with them?
But I should do that. Thanks.
Yeah.
Oh, we took tons of pictures last night.
Okay.
Tons.
Good.
And you know the way it works is when I'm sitting at the table signing books, every person practically wants to take a picture. So, you know, the poor people who are waiting, 30 people in line, you know, to get their book signed, they have to wait a bit. But no, it was wonderful, and I'm deeply grateful, especially because all of these people listen to Relevant Radio, and they all hear it. Typically on our local stations in this area or on the app, but the devotion that the local people have to Relevant Radio is really heartwarming. And I wanted to share that with everybody just because it's for me personally, it's wonderful to have an opportunity to meet you in person and to see you, because I can't see you while I'm doing the show. I know you're out there, but when I can put a face, you know, with this concept that there are people out there listening all around the country, all around the world. It's truly remarkable. So lots of beautiful love to all of you in the Quad Cities area, in Moline, Davenport, etc. Thank you for listening to Relevant Radio. Let's get back to the phones. Let's go to Ralph in Roseville, California. Hi, Ralph.
Good morning, Patrick. First off, I wanted to say thank you. I kept you on the radio for my wife. She was a cafeteria Catholic, and by listening to you, she finally came to the church. I'm a convert of about 38 years myself, so I was glad to get back to confession and everything. You were talking on the subject with the handicapped girl, the deaf person. And it's funny. I recall listening to one of Rush Limbaugh's programs, and he was asked about the subject of his deafness and how it happened and all that. Uh-huh. And he just related, he said it was the one handicap that the person with the handicap kind of gets blamed or people get angry with them. He said, you know, we can all shut our eyes and understand what it's like not to see, but people can't really contemplate not hearing. And invariably, he goes, a lot of people get frustrated with you. They just can't accept that you're not hearing anything at all. And I think it's very sad. You know, I don't know if that was on the person's part in that story, but it just, you know, when a person is telling you that they're deaf, you know, you got to believe them.
Yeah. As you're saying that, I'm thinking about how mind-boggling it must be for the average person to imagine that. I have a very hard time imagining what it would be like to have no hearing at all. So, yeah, I didn't know that Rush Limbaugh, I mean, I knew he had the loss of hearing and all that, but I didn't know that he had said that. So if nothing else, it's a great reminder that we should be more compassionate and not simply allow our frustration with somebody like the lady who is deaf. That poor woman. Did you see the video of her crying? I mean, she was just really beside herself because she had been so humiliated in that store.
I could just, it was pouring out though when you were playing it. As an aside, though, one time Mr. Limbaugh was talking about his affinity for the church and how he very much, anytime he got a chance to go to Vatican City, he would go. So I was very curious that he had a draw to it. You know, and I hope he had, you know, that in his you know, passing days.
That's a good point. Maybe he did. We can always hope for that. You know who did have a deathbed conversion? John Wayne. He was never a Catholic. And in the final waning, I guess, I don't know if it was the final hours, but it might have been the final hours, but very, very close to his death of cancer, he actually was received into the church. And I believe he was baptized, but he certainly received all the sacraments and he died a holy death. Isn't that amazing?
Well, cool off, pilgrim.
Just imagine when you get to heaven, you're going to see the Duke. Could you imagine being in heaven and running into John Wayne? Did we
that
lose
would
Ralph?
Be interesting.
I think we lost Ralph. There you are.
No. I'm still here. I grew up being taken to John Wayne movies as a child. My I'm the last of the baby boomers here. My parents were World War II veterans, and in fact, my mother just turned 100 this last year. But I grew up going to see.
Did you see the movie The Shootist? Did you see The Shootist?
Yes.
That was the last movie he made. Lauren Bacall, Ron Williams played the kid, and the story, as you remember, is that, you know, he's this legendary gunfighter and he's dying of cancer, and he goes to this town to have the final shootout with all of his enemies. He was actually dying of cancer, and he died shortly after that movie was made. Trivia for you there. So really quick before we have to go, you mentioned that your wife came back to the practice of the faith. And did I catch it right that you said that it was listening to Relevant Radio that helped her?
Yes, I am. We're married in the church and everything. It just she always waned about, you know, going to confession. And I always try to nudge her. Again, her parents were that, you know, again, she that's her description, cafeteria Catholics. But I just kept leaving the station on it, and she finally, you know, it flipped. I guess I put enough salt in the oats and the
tomatoes thirsty.
And again, not coming from a husband, I guess maybe that's part of it too. So, you know, as I tell her as her husband, I feel like I have to keep re-interviewing for a job I've already gotten, you know, but
That's so, cool.
If you understand what
cool.
I mean.
Well,
there.
Ralph, thank you. for her, obviously, and her spiritual health and well-being. That's awesome you did that. But also, it's a great example of for other people who are listening right now to help them realize that oftentimes it can be as simple as just turning somebody on to, hey, did you know about, you know, this program, or did you know about Relevant Radio? And people begin listening and lives change as a result of that. Well, thank you for calling, Ralph. I very much enjoyed talking with you. And I'm still thinking about what it's going to be like. Cyrus, when you get to heaven and you meet John Wayne, is that going to be a moment for you?
I think fingers crossed I make it.
Yeah. Hey, that's John Wayne. You know, I'm convinced, Cyrus, that when we get to heaven, we will be surprised at the people we meet there. You're here? And of course, I think there'll be people who will see us and say, wait, you're here? How did you get there? All right, I won't. I won't do that. 888-914-9149. Let's go now to Anna in Illinois. Hi, Anna.
Hi. How are you?
I am well, thank you.
Thank you. I'm calling because my niece is getting married, and she invited my daughter to be a flower girl. But in the beginning, when she invited my daughter, she was getting married to the Catholic Church. So we say yes. Now, she, like a month ago, she changed her mind. Now she's not getting married through the church. And so now
and
we don't
Catholic?
Know what to say.
Mm-hmm. This lady is Catholic?
Yes, she was raised Catholic. And I'll say like a year ago, she stopped going to the church, and now she hangs out with a lot of people who believe in gay marriage and Black Lives Matter and all that stuff.
And when what I would do if it was my 5-year-old daughter who was invited to be the flower girl. What a nice honor for her. I would just simply say to the lady, say, you know, we wish you well. We certainly do. But my daughter can't be the flower girl in your wedding now because you're not getting married in the church. Well, why? What's the problem? Well, because as a Catholic, you need to be married in the church. And in order for your marriage to be valid, you need to be married in the church, unless you've gotten permission from the bishop. And sometimes bishops will grant a dispensation for any number of reasons. And you might ask her, did you get permission from the bishop to not get married in the church? And she's probably going to say no. Then just say, well, then, oh, gosh, I'm so sorry. We were really looking forward to the wedding, and it was an honor for our daughter to be invited, and we sure thank you for that, but we're not going to be able to go. Now, the reason this is a good thing to say to her is because there's always that possibility that that may prick her conscience. And she may start even maybe asking you questions. Well, what do you mean my marriage won't be valid? She may not realize that. She may not realize that as a Catholic, having the obligation to be married according to the canonical form, meaning the church's canon law requirement about how we get married, she may just simply be honestly ignorant about that, and no one has ever explained it to her. So perhaps if you tell her this in a, you know, in a gentle, compassionate way, she may say, oh, well, I don't want my marriage to be invalid. Okay, well, maybe we'll have it at the church after all. It's possible that she could have a change of heart. And who knows, maybe in God's providence, you'll be the reason, or what you say to her might be the reason why she would get, you know, back on track again. Now, it also could go the other way, where she could be offended and, you know, flounce off in a huff because you turned down her invitation for your daughter to be the flower girl, but that can't be helped. This is a problem of her making, not a problem of your making. So that would be my advice to you, Anna.
Thank you. She's my niece's. So my husband is. So he's worried about, you know, like his brother getting upset, even though she went to Catholic schools and
I understand.
My brother is like very
there's
religious.
No, I have to go. I have to take a break. Forgive my interruption. I've got to take a break. But there's no need to be anxious or worried about that. You want to speak the truth in love. And sometimes, you know, when you're called upon to speak the truth in love, people do get riled. Often that happens. But don't let that stop you. As long as you are being polite and you are being, or your brother, or your husband rather, you don't want to brutalize people with the truth, obviously, but if you're being polite and charitable and patient and you're telling the person the truth, even though it involves some, you know, change of plans, that would be my advice. And I think it'll work out just fine. And if she gets upset, you know, these things happen, and life is too short to worry about other people getting upset for something like that, especially when it's her own problem. It's not your problem. It's her problem. All right. Thanks for the call. Quick break, and I'll be right back.
Well, take some advice, Pilgrim.
Follow Patrick on Twitter, @PatrickMadrid.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/foresters.
This is the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio and relevantradio.com.
All right, moving rapidly toward the end of the show, and yet there is still some time if you'd like to call in. The number is 888-914-9149. Let's go to Newman, California, and talk to Liliana. Hi, Liliana.
Hi.
Hi, they tell me you're 9 years old.
Yeah.
Okay, great. What would you like to talk about?
I was wondering where Adam and Eve's soul went when they died.
Good question. Their souls went to the underworld. Now, there's a couple of words that I'd like you to learn. One is Sheol. That's a word in Hebrew. And another word, which means the same thing, but it's in Greek, is Hades. And these words are used by Jesus to describe the place where all the souls of people who died from the time of Adam and Eve until the time of Jesus dying on the cross, they all went to this place in the underworld. Some of them went to a place of punishment, and some of them went to a place of peace, where they were not being punished, but they were waiting for Jesus to die on the cross so he could open the gates of heaven. So Adam and Eve went there, as did all the souls of the good people, the people who loved God and who repented of their sins. They all went to that place. And then when Jesus died on the cross, he went there. You know how he was in the tomb from the time he was buried, his body was in the tomb, and then on Easter Sunday morning, he rose from the dead. You know that story?
Yeah.
Liliana? Okay. So during that time, in between when Jesus died on the cross and when he rose from the dead on Easter Sunday morning, he went to that place and he brought all those people, including, I think we can safely say, Adam and Eve, with him, brought them all into heaven, the ones who had been waiting there. So that's what happened to them. What do you think? All right. I think maybe we lost Liliana. So I hope that's helpful, and I do appreciate the phone call. Tell your mom thank you for letting you call me. 888-914-9149. Now let's go to Kathy in Cleveland. Hello, Kathy.
A question.
Hello, Kathy.
I moved to a new area, and I'm just wondering, is reverence for the sacred space disappearing? I have joined a new parish, and Sunday Mass, the congregation is as loud as it would be if you're going to, you know, a football game or concert or something. I was always taught as a kid not to be an occasion of sin for somebody else or distraction at Mass to just, you know, distract them from their prayers with God. And it's just jovial, and private conversations are not private. I'm hearing neighbors talk about the buku bucks they made on selling their house and where they're moving to and retiring and so on. It's, I don't understand.
Well, you're dealing with the frailties of human nature, and it's not a good thing, and I can understand your consternation by trying to be in church and pray. And of course, Jesus is present in the Blessed Sacrament. And yet some people, they chitter chatter because they're not recollected. They're not aware, or they forget where they are. So it is unfortunate, to say the least, that people don't take into account the fact that, number one, they're in the presence of God and they should take the time to pray and communicate with him. But also, as a matter of common courtesy, they could take the chitter-chatter outside or into the hall where coffee and donuts are being served, because there are other people in the church like you who do want to pray. So their lack of self-control, their lack of respect for Jesus and for their fellow Catholics is deeply unfortunate, to say the least, but it is a frailty of human nature. Now, on the upside, I have seen that in parishes where the priest is vigilant about this kind of thing, and either on a regular basis or as needed, makes the announcement, please be reverent and quiet in church. Don't chitter chatter with each other. Save that for the parking lot, or save that for the coffee and donuts in the hall. When you're in church, please show reverence. Jesus is present here in the tabernacle. And for the sake of those who are trying to pray, please don't be yipping and yapping. When the priest lets it be known that that is the requirement in the parish, that problem typically stops. People typically get the point and they stop doing it. So that would be my humble advice in the case of your parish. Maybe you could speak to your parish priest and ask him, Father, for the sake of those of us who are trying to pray, could you please at least in some way let everybody know that if they want to chitter chatter, do it somewhere else, but not in the church. And perhaps Father McGillicuddy will say, you know what, that's a great idea, and I'll do that. Wouldn't that be a nice outcome?
That would be. It really would be. I don't think it's high on his list, but thank you for the advice.
Yeah. You know, and obviously, if nothing changes, then it's a bit of a cross for you. And, you know, what I have read in the great masters of the spiritual life, I've read over and over again that the crosses that are not of your choosing are the more meritorious crosses. Crosses, you know, penances that you and I choose for ourselves, they're good, but it's far better to patiently endure a cross that comes your way, like people who are distracting you when you're trying to pray. And if you can offer that up to the Lord, it's actually good for you and purifying. So hopefully the problem will go away. That would be the best scenario. But even if it doesn't, your patient suffering at the hands of your fellow Catholics who can't keep their mouths closed when they're talking about the sale of their house or whatever, that's a little suffering that you can offer up. I think that would be a good thing too. I know it's easier said than done, but it can be done. Thanks for the call. I appreciate that. Let's go now to, where are we going to go? Let's go to Nolan. Yeah, Nolan in Helena, Montana. Thanks for calling.
Morning, Patrick. My question for you is, so a lady at Mass last Saturday evening gave me the seven-decade rosary of Our Lady of Sorrow, and I've been doing like some research on it, and my question is to receive, the promises, do I have to, because I've read that I have to pray it Tuesdays and Fridays, which are the Sorrowful Mysteries, but then I also read that I should pray seven Hail Marys for a day for each Sorrowful Mystery. Is that true? Or, like, do you have any knowledge on this?
I'm afraid I don't. This is the kind of thing that I would have to Google, and you could Google it too. I just don't have any native information about that. So whatever the promises are that are associated with it, I'm guessing would be easily findable if you were to look it up. These devotions have various requirements, I guess, if that's the right word. But on that particular one, I'm ignorant. I don't know what the answer is for that.
Okay, well, thank you.
Yeah, I'm sorry you had to hold so long to get such a dissatisfying answer from me. But yeah, you know, Google is your friend, and you can always type that in there and find out. But the main thing is, it's good that you are doing devotions and that you're praying the rosary. That's good. So I want to encourage you and keep doing that.
Okay, well, thank you.
You got it. Thank you. We'll go now to Maple Lake, Minnesota, and talk to Sam. Hello, Sam.
Hi, Patrick. So I have a question about a friend who just asked me to be his groomsman. Born and raised Catholic, but he most likely won't have a Catholic wedding, but he wasn't confirmed also. Should I be groomsman?
Okay. Yeah, so he hasn't completed his sacraments of initiation, confirmation being one of them. Well, I mean, this is sort of the same story over and over again, different variations on a theme, and that is that the church requires, in the current code of canon law, the church requires what's known as the canonical form for a valid sacrament of holy matrimony, for a valid wedding, a valid marriage, rather. And so Catholics are obliged, and he is obliged as a baptized Catholic. It's a shame that he's fallen away from a practice of his faith. But nonetheless, he still remains under the obligation to get married according to the canonical form. Now, if he weren't Catholic, it would not be a problem. You could go, and that would be fine. But because he's a Catholic, this is the problem that it creates, and that is that it now will be, if he goes through with this, it's going to be an invalid marriage. The church will not recognize its validity. So the rule of thumb in such cases is that if you were to go to that wedding, it would be tantamount to endorsing something that you at least know is not right. And it's very unfortunate. It's amazing to me how many Catholics, they're sleepwalking through life, and they just don't pay attention to what the church teaches on this issue, and they wind up getting themselves in these predicaments with invalid marriages, and then eventually often they have to try to sort it out, and it becomes very difficult. So if the church's law ever changes, and I have read some literature from canon lawyers who have commented on the topic, suggesting that if the church were to change this provision in the law and not require that particular canonical form, then that could alleviate this problem. But unless and until that law changes, that's what we're left with. So in the final analysis, personally, I wouldn't go. Now, I know that that's, again, easier said than done, and it's difficult, especially puts a strain on a relationship. And how do you explain that to them? It seems to me the best way to explain it is to say, listen, you're a Catholic. And as a Catholic, you have rights and privileges and also duties. And one of your duties as a Catholic is to be married according to the requirements of the church. Now, if you could just do that, if you just could get married at your parish church, I'll be there for you with bells on. I'll carry you around on my shoulder, if that's what we need to do. But the thing is, if you don't get married in the church, it makes it basically impossible for me to attend it. And I really want to attend it. I really want to be there to honor you and support you and your wife. And, you know, you're my friend. And I really, really want to be able to do this. And if you would just do the right thing and get married in a Catholic church, I can be there for you, as well as all the other Catholic folk who, knowing that it would be an invalid marriage if you don't get married in the church, many of them will not be able to be there for you. So why not just do what the church asks and everybody is happy? Why not just do that? And who knows, maybe you could get through to him and maybe he might be willing to, you know, in consultation with his bride-to-be, maybe they will change things and problem solved. Maybe not, but it's worth a try.
Yeah, it'll be hard to see if he understands any of that necessarily because it's been so long since he's been a regular mass goer. But
how sad, you know, how sad. But then again, maybe God will use you in a powerful way to help him. Well, that's my prayer. I've got to run. Thanks for the phone call. I wish I had better news to give you
right,
on that score.
You.
But onward and upward. Yeah, thank you. We will be again together soon. I promise you that. And in between now and then, I will pray for you. Please pray for me. God bless you.